Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, November 11th. Now coming up today, Kent couples out of pocket as a wedding venue goes under. Fire bosses say KCC turmoil is a threat to the service, and we'll hear from the Jills manager as the squad take a break from League 2 for the EFL trophy. But first, we start today's podcast with a tribute to veterans as we mark Armistice Day. This year marks the 80th anniversary since the end of the Second World War, and today we've observed a 2-minute silence. A Kent soldier has told the Kent Online podcast, "It's vital we take the time to remember the sacrifices made by veterans during the Second World War." Here's Staff Sergeant Oliver Aspinall. He's from the 36 Engineer Regiment and the Queen's Gurkha Engineers. He's told Nicola how he struggled with his mental health after serving in Afghanistan. He now supports others who might be going through the same thing and says no one should feel alone.
I was a Lance Corporal, but my team commander and sort of team sergeant, team advisor, were both sort of initiated an explosive device. We had a leg lost, fragged to people's eyes and all this sort of stuff. I was blown off my feet. And people say, look back on that situation, I suppose quite proudly, how I reacted to it. But once I got back, we carried on as a team for over the next 6 months. When I got back, my wife noticed a big change. And I steadily went downhill over the next couple of years or so until, because I was almost that higher functioning, anxious, depressed person, you know, drinking heavily. But at the same time, I was running about 120 mile a week just to escape, varying my routes home because I was paranoid about being followed. I convinced myself that the people I was working with were trying to kill me, and the psychotic elements of whatever I was going through sort of took over, really, until I hit sort of a breaking point. But, you know, looking back over my younger sort of childhood as well, really abusive upbringing. We have it now. We hear about children growing up walking on eggshells all the time in abusive households. And it has such a profound effect on their mental well-being, you know, in later life. You know, broken homes, no stability, has a massive effect. And that had a big effect on me. And I think that's one of the reasons now I try and help keep people together, you know, and try and help families work through problems and difficulties so they can stay as a strong family unit.
We're going to be remembering all servicemen and women that we've lost. What does remembrance, or what do remembrance events mean to you? What sort of things do you think about on those days?
I have lost a lot of friends over the years, to either action overseas or when they got back, haven't particularly had the support they need, and they've had no escape, or, you know, they've taken their own lives. It is difficult every year, and it's really sad, you know, in the sort of world we're in at the minute, with all the communication technologies we've got, you know, no one should feel alone.
What do you think when you see people wearing the poppy, and when you wear the poppy, what does that make you think of? And how important is the poppy that we still wear it now?
It is important. And it should be a symbol of absolute remembrance, but bringing people together of all cultures, creeds, you know, all different people, types of people from all over the world, bringing people together under one symbol of remembrance.
It's this year marked the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II, so I'm sure remembrance events this year are going to be even more poignant. Unfortunately, a lot of those veterans who served at the time are no longer around. But how important do you think it is that we continue these remembrance events for servicemen who fought in more recent conflicts?
It's so important. You know, when I was in a training establishment, we took junior soldiers across to Normandy on all five beaches, and we did a battlefield tour, battlefield study. Incredibly emotional. But if you don't remember, if you don't do these things, you don't remember what's happened in the past, you're destined to just repeat that. You know, we see the tensions in Europe already escalating across different countries. Tensions, but by talking, by having conversations, and remembering what's happened in the past and the horrors that people have seen, we can either be destined to repeat that, or we can grow and be better and come together as one.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today. An East Malling man has been jailed for 9 years for a sex attack on a woman he'd met at a pub. The victim became drunk and confused at the Rising Sun in Mill Street before she was taken to a nearby property. It happened in 2017 and was reported to police in 2023. 67-year-old Stephen Moore from Stickens Lane was found guilty by a jury. A man who carried out a violent sex attack after forcing his way into his victim's home in Rochester has been jailed. The woman had opened the door thinking it was a neighbour. Danny Bailey pushed her inside and made threats. The 42-year-old from Brompton Lane in Strood has been locked up for 12 years. A man who made threats to kill in Sittingbourne High Street has been sent to prison. Armed police were called to the town centre last Thursday morning. Blake Patterson from Blenheim Park Road in South Croydon was arrested in Bourne Place and charged the same day. The 41-year-old's been locked up for 16 weeks. A man who sprayed a shop worker in the face with cleaning fluid before stabbing him in the leg has been jailed for more than 2 years. Paul Stratton attacked Damien Davies in the street after becoming abusive towards staff at the Cheeky Monkey sandwich store in April. The 40-year-old from Clarence Street in the town has also been given a 5-year restraining order. A drunk driver who crashed her friend's car into a parked vehicle near Tunbridge has been ordered to pay compensation. Katie Kitchen Goldsmith had taken cocaine and other substances when she was arrested in Hadlow in October last year. The 39-year-old from Saltings Road in Snodland has been given a suspended sentence and a driving ban. She'll also have to complete 25 rehab sessions. Reform UK Council leader Lyndon Kamkaran has raised fears that an upcoming BBC documentary may splice together things she said to make her look bad. Councillor Kamkaran, who runs Kent County Council, posted to X this morning, stating she has a genuine dilemma.
I have a genuine dilemma. Laura Koonsberg is making a documentary about the rise of reform, and I've had her documentary crew following me about for the last month, filming my speeches, filming me in meetings, doing interviews with me. How do I know I can trust what is going to happen in that final edit? Will they splice together things that I've said to make me look bad? Will they try and misrepresent me? I've given them a lot of access and they want to come down and do some more filming later this week. And I genuinely don't know whether I should allow them in anymore because the BBC has broken the trust of the entire nation. What would you do in my position?
It comes after Donald Trump sent a letter to the BBC threatening legal action following uproar over the editing of a speech by the US president in a Panorama documentary. Figures just out show a rise in unemployment in Kent. 39,275 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in September. That's 260 more than the previous month. And a former Kent PE teacher has been described as caring and kind following her death at the age of 88. Joy Weir taught at Swanley Comprehensive School for 40 years and also ran a gymnastics club in the town. Her daughter says tributes paid by hundreds of ex-students students have been so lovely. A funeral service is planned for November 27th.
Kent Online News.
A cat has died after a fire broke out at a house in Medway. Six fire engines were called to tackle the blaze on Upnor High Street yesterday. Crews spent more than 6 hours at the scene. One person suffered minor smoke inhalation. The cause is not yet known. Elsewhere, firefighters have been called to a business park near Maidstone after a vehicle caught alight. The blaze broke out at a yard in Aylesford yesterday evening. No one was hurt and it's unclear what caused it. Now, this all comes as the Fire Brigades Union has accused Reform UK of leaving Kent's fire service governing body in disarray. It's after five Reform representatives who were members of the Kent and Medway Fire Authority were removed following a leaked video of a heated council meeting. I've been speaking to Joe Weir, who's from the Fire Brigades Union. He's kindly agreed to answer a few questions. First of all, Joe, I know a lot of people will be unfamiliar with the idea of the Kent and Medway Fire Authority. Can you start by telling us a little bit about who they are and what they do?
So Kent and Medway Fire Authority, following the council elections in May, is predominantly made up of Reform councillors. It is also formed of other political parties, but what they function is to cover the political governance of Kent Fire and Rescue Service. In essence, it's to provide the check and balance, it's that political oversight, but it's also to ensure that they are making decisions on how significant financial implications of Kent Fire and Rescue Service are covered.
So how is their day-to-day running being impacted by the removal of Reform UK councillors at KCC?
So look, at the moment, reforming Kent are nothing short of shambolic. What we've seen is the nine Reform councillors have either been suspended, expelled, or one has defected to UKIP. The implications of that on the Fire Authority are quite significant. A number of the individuals were principal post holders. So they were the chair of the Fire Authority, the vice chair of the Fire Authority. And what that means is they cannot carry out their full functions as a fire authority without those individuals in place. What I mean by that is that significant spending limits will not be able to be accordingly covered, and so therefore there is a little bit of a situation whereby they can't carry out their full role as a fire authority.
Should the public be concerned about this, especially as we move into winter and more people are lighting log burners and bonfires?
Look, I think from our perspective, I think that firefighters and the community deserve a political governance structure that functions at all levels of the council, including the fire authority. I think it is important to note that in the immediacy, this won't have an impact necessarily on the response times or the frontline capability of Kent Fire and Rescue Service. However, what it does mean potentially is the longer that these posts aren't filled or the fire authority cannot function to its full capacity, you could see significant decisions that can't be taken that could impact the day-to-day running of Kent Fire and Rescue Service. For example, I know at the moment in Kent, there are issues around an aging fleet. What I mean by that is obviously the fire appliances. And it's things like that that could be held up or decisions not taken by the fire authority in order to improve and protect not only our firefighters, but our communities.
And what sort of resolution would you like to see?
I think in the immediacy, what we'd like to do is have a meeting with Lyndon Kemp-Caron, the leader of Kent County Council. I think that we would obviously like to speak to her and outline our concerns with Kent Fire and Rescue Service, things where we think improvements can certainly be made and our worries looking forward, but also outline the picture from the National Fire and Rescue Service. We are facing a funding crisis. We do need pressure to be put on the government and local government in order to ensure that we are properly funded. But also that needs to be taken into consideration about local decisions at Kent's around council tax and tough decisions that they will be. But there needs to be a conversation about how we fund Kent Fire and Rescue Service moving forward and to ensure that actually we do have the best fire and rescue service in Kent we possibly can, and our concerns around response times and funding and investment have been long standing, and there has been a deterioration over the past 10 to 15 years. So we'd want to speak with her. But I'd also urge the leader of the council to act swiftly to ensure that the fire authority is at full capacity so that it can carry out its full function, and also that it can do its due diligence, because what we can't have is a scenario whereby things are held up or decisions aren't taken whilst we wait for the political frolicking of a party in chaos to be resolved.
A big thanks to Joe there for taking the time out to speak to us. We've reached out to Reform for a comment, but they're yet to get back to us. You can read more about this by clicking on the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A Kent chemotherapy nurse has launched a petition to try and lower the age of when women are first called for a mammogram. At the moment, they're contacted between the age of 50 and 53 and then routinely screened every 3 years until they're 71. Gemma Reeves wants that reduced to 40.
Working in oncology for the last 8 years, I've seen like firsthand how many younger patients are being diagnosed with breast cancer. These are mainly women. We do obviously treat men with breast cancer as well, but it is mainly women in their 40s. And often they've got young families facing life-changing treatments and uncertainty about their future, really. And I just wanted, you know, I've treated patients that are my friends as well. And, you know, things change, don't they? You know, normally, like we used to treat patients that were a lot older, and, you know, since COVID, patients are different, not different, but patients are, you know, a lot younger. And so I wanted to start this petition because early detection makes a huge difference. And when breast cancer is, you know, or any cancer is found sooner, treatments can be less aggressive, outcomes are better, and more people get a chance to, you know, live full lives, really. And that's why I set up the petition to, you know, lower the age of the mammograms from 40 and for them to be more routinely, because at the moment they're every 3 years from the age of 50 to 53. So it's not even actually from 50. You could be waiting another 3 years. You know, there are studies out there. There's pros and cons. I've spoken to oncologists I work with, you know, for their opinions. And even if it, you know, gets to government, and, you know, I'm really hopeful that it does, even if they lower it to 45, you know, with the help of everybody that signed my petition, we've made a change. And, you know, it doesn't just affect me, it affects you who's listening and interviewing me, like your friends, your family, and, you know, my children as well. And that's what I want to do. I just want to make like a positive change for people.
You've answered my question actually, Gemma, because I was going to say, can you remind me the age that it is at the moment? And it seems weird you say 50. That's all right. No, as soon as you say 50, you suddenly think, crikey, that does seem older now, doesn't it? Because we hear of so many people, and there have been quite high profile people. Think of Amy from Strictly, for example, sharing their story, and I've had friends and people I know who have been much younger. It seems maybe that 50 age is a bit out of touch, really. Is that how you feel?
Exactly. And that is my point, you know. And we see patients here that, you know, they've been in the shower and they felt a lump, and, you know, they're in their 40s, and, you know, like, okay, great, well, not great, they've felt a lump, they've gone to the GP after detection, and then they've been referred appropriately. But if the mammograms, you know, were started at the age of 40, that the staging might have been different on the patient, you know, because they would have then routinely been having their mammograms.
We all know, obviously, how much pressure the NHS is under. Do you think in the past that's why there's maybe been a bit of a reluctance to bring that age down, because it would see even more people then coming through the system to have mammograms? Would that put too much pressure on that particular system, or is it a case of just making more mammogram facilities available?
The thing is, you know, everything is always cost related, isn't it? And, you know, if they did lower the age and do the screenings more often, you know, in the long run, like, they would be saving money, because if you've got that early detection, the treatment for an early detection might not cost as much as somebody that has been detected later and needs to go through a few lines of different chemotherapies.
Kent Online News.
Now, this next story is one of the most read on the website today. More than 50 couples who had their weddings cancelled after a Kent venue went into administration have been told they won't get any of their money back. The Blazing Donkey Country Hotel near Sandwich went under with just 62p in the bank at the start of September. Lucy has been following this story for the podcast. She's with me now. First of all, Luce, what can you tell us about the Blazing Donkey going into administration?
Well, it's been under the ownership of Richard and Sherry Martin for 36 years, but sadly, when Mrs. Martin was diagnosed with a terminal illness, they were forced to step back from running the venue. After she passed away earlier this year, they struggled financially, and at the start of September, they were forced to call in administrators. They've put the premises up for sale and say they've already attracted a number of offers.
But I understand those offers are not enough to cover the cost of what's owed to everyone.
That's right. The highest offer they've had comes in at just under £1.5 million, which is not enough to pay off its full list of debtors. It means customers, suppliers and vendors are unlikely to see a penny of their cash returned.
And what about some of those who've been left out of pocket? This must be devastating for them.
It is a very difficult time, yes. Kenna Russell had her wedding cancelled 3 days before she was due to walk down the aisle. She and her husband estimate they spent almost £10,000 with the Blazing Donkey. The couple say they've secured the services of a barrister and will be taking the company to court, but it's unclear whether or not they'll be able to get any of their money back. Overall, it's estimated £380,000 is owed to those who had weddings booked at the venue. Now, it is worth mentioning the boss of the venue made headlines in 2022 when he claimed to have rejected a fee of little more than £1 million to turn his hotel into accommodation for asylum seekers. He told Kent Online that accepting the fast buck would have meant cancelling hundreds of weddings, with the popular venue already booked into 2025 at that stage.
Thanks, Luz. You can read more about this by clicking on the story on the homepage of Kent Online. Plans to convert an historic building in Dover into 17 flats have been given the go-ahead. The Grade 2 listed Waterloo Crescent was previously used by the Royal Cinque Ports Yacht Club. It's part of the ongoing redevelopment of Dover's seafront and should secure its future for the next 100 years. Now, leaked papers seen by the Kent Online podcast show a Kent County Council office block in Maidstone could be sold off and potentially converted into housing. Documents show Reform UK is looking to sell off Invicta House with a warning it could attract London boroughs who are short of accommodation. The hexagonal-shaped property, which has 250 parking spaces and was built in the 80s, has been valued at more than £3 million. KCC has been asked for a comment. Work's going to be carried out on a road in Maidstone after lorries were seen sliding down it. Footage at Kent Online shows HGVs struggling to get up Willington Street, with some taking several attempts and needing a run-up to get over the brow of the hill. The County Council's confirmed crews will be improving the traction on the hill later this month. Now, if you live in Medway, you're being asked what you think about plans to create a new nature reserve. Bosses are looking at transforming land at Temple Marsh in Strood to support wildlife. There'll also be new footpaths and a viewing platform. A consultation is going to run until December the 8th. Events showing off the ideas will take place at the town's sports centre later this month. And a so-called bite-size Greg store has opened at Seven Oaks Railway Station. It's the first in the UK and is part of a trial by the bakery chain to try and attract customers in prime locations with limited space. Another's expected to open at Dartford Station next month.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham are taking a break from the league tonight as they're in EFL Trophy action. They're hosting Gareth Ainsworth's old team Wickham Wanderers. Speaking after Saturday's win at Bristol Rovers, Gareth was asked if he's looking forward to playing against his old team.
Yeah, of course. You know, a special club and I'm really hoping that we progress in the tournament. I've got some players, you know, like Travis Akameo, Lenny Serino, you know, Marcus Waller didn't travel today with the squad, you know, Armani and Johnny Williams, Conor Masterson, you know, some real sort of Ewan Williams. I mean, been out for so long that people have probably, it's going to be like a new signing. So, you know, these are players that I want to get games, I want to get minutes into, I want to see them coming through and joining what is a fantastic squad. You know, we want to try and progress in this tournament, but it'll be really special for me to be against Wickham. It always will be. You can't take that away from me, you know. And I've never been back to Adams Park yet, but you know, to have them at our place, I know it's the trophy, which isn't as well supported as league games and cup games, but I'm still going to enjoy that one, but like I say, under orders, so I still won't be in the dugout. I'll be away from that, and we'll see when I can get back.
This is their final group stage match. Kickoff is at 7. And in rugby, Kent's Alex Mitchell admits the England side can't wait to play the All Blacks in the Autumn Nations Series. Victory over the three-time world champions at Twickenham would make it 10 wins in a row. The scrum half says they know they're in for a battle. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.